Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
Only God could take such a terrible cultural situation and bring forth from it someone mighty in his hand, named Moses. And I tell you, friends, as a parent, you wonder, is it even possible to raise a child for God in this society? And I declare to you this morning that if God would raise up Moses out of Egypt, he can help you raise your children out of California.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and he has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Delivered by the Grace of God.
Many times in your life and mine, God allows a season of tension so that we can bring more glory to our God, so that we can bring honor to his name. And so we see in this opening moment of Exodus, there's a hateful culture all around them. And when you think you can't live for God in the midst of this culture, let's remember how God worked in the lives of these we're studying this morning. Notice, secondly, it was a harmful culture. You know, sometimes cultures that are hateful towards the things of God can actually become very harmful towards the people of God. Now, we have not experienced much of that in our culture to this point. We know, for example, today that there are people who have been killed in the Middle East. I think of some in Syria who have been killed just because they are Christians. We know of people in Iraq who have had their churches bombed, and even in modern day Egypt who have had their churches bombed simply because they are Christians. We're sitting today in padded chairs and air conditioning, and how many are thankful for the air conditioning this morning? We're very thankful for that. But the truth is that many cultures who know not the Lord will take out their animosity toward the people of the Lord. And we see that in this instance. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools," speaking of birthing stools, "if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Now, Pharaoh is speaking to the midwives who were over the operation of birthing and watching over the births of some 2 million Hebrew children living in their midst. No doubt there were many, many midwives and many of what we might call a pediatric nurse, or those that work in the infant ward. And these are women who are being commanded by the king of their nation to murder children just as they were coming out of their mother's womb. Now, let me just pause this morning, because throughout the book of Exodus, we're going to find applications. The Bible is not an irrelevant book. The Bible is a very relevant book to our life today. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I knew you, and even before you were born and while you were in your mother's womb," God says to Jeremiah, "I knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb." In fact, when God speaks in the Bible about Jesus in his mother's womb, the Bible speaks about the holy child. It doesn't speak about the holy fetus. It speaks about that holy child. In the Bible, God recognizes life at conception. God recognizes life in the womb. And because of that, Christians have always placed much value on the life of our most innocent, the life of the preborn child, the life of the elderly person over in the convalescent home. All life is created by God. We are created in the image of God. And a society that knows the Lord values life. If you're with me, say amen this morning. But a society like Pharaoh's, who knew not the Lord, did not value life. In fact, he became so power hungry that he's ordering the murder of these children. And how sad today in America that even by the signature and by the vote of many of those in Congress, we have come to the place where even in the very last weeks of a mother carrying that child that God created, that God recognizes, that because of abortion, so many millions of these children have been murdered in the United States of America. 22% of pregnancies in the USA end in abortion. Approximately 1 million babies are murdered each year through abortion, which means 2,700 times a day another life is snuffed out and taken from his or her mother's womb. Over 59 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortions, receives $530 million in taxpayer funds annually. But thank God there are still people in this country who do fear the Lord and who do understand that life is the gift of God. And God places value on the life of that unborn baby. And so as we consider these things, we see a hateful plot being made against God's people. But then we see, secondly today, a higher perspective. And aren't you glad that God always has a higher perspective? How many of you are going through something, maybe even right now, and you go, I don't understand everything going on right at this very moment in my life, right? But we need the higher perspective. And there is a higher perspective. The Bible says in verse 17, "But the midwives feared God, and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive." I want you to read that first phrase with me because this is powerful. But the midwives feared God. Ready? Begin. But the midwives feared God. One more time. But the midwives. Now, midwives are awesome. These ladies that help with the delivery of babies, I mean, they are like a rock. And I can testify because when we had our four children, I was not like a rock. I was like a mess. In fact, whoever had the idea to let men go in there anyways? That is a stupid idea. And it was right when we started having our firstborn, you know, they're all, you know, dads go in, and you had to take these classes. I don't know if they still take them, but how to help your wife breathe, which was really stupid. My wife had been breathing fine for 22 years before that. Now I'm going to go in there at the last minute and like tell her how to breathe or something. And I'd go in there, I mean, just a nervous wreck. They'd put some goop on my wife, and they'd measure her, the baby's heartbeat, and they'd take her blood pressure, everything they did. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that to her? And Terry would groan, and I'd say, try to help her breathe. And finally, she said, forget it. Don't try to help me breathe. And then when Danielle finally was born, my first question to the nurse, what's wrong with her? She looked like an alien from another planet, all gangly like E.T. or something, And the midwife, the nurse there, she said, oh, it's a beautiful baby girl. I said, it is. Okay, it is. I'm just telling you, midwives are kind of, they're like the rock in there, you know. They know how to help and calm everything down. But what was special about these midwives was that they had seen so many thousands of babies born. They had seen their eyes open for the first time. They had heard the cry of life. They'd seen the little fingers as they have moved. And there was something in their heart because of that that could never deny the existence of God. They could never deny the reality of God bringing life. And it didn't matter what the king said. They feared God more than they feared the king. And we need today some teenagers in this room who more than you fear your friends and more than you fear that peer pressure. And we need some men at work tomorrow who, when all your buddies are telling curse words and everybody's laughing, we need some today who will just say, you know what? I'm not going to fear my buddies at work. I'm not going to fear my friends at school. I'm going to fear the Lord and do what's right. These midwives had a higher perspective. They bravely chose to follow God. And sometimes in our lives, we have to make these decisions. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other disciples or apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, there may come a time in your life when it's just that clear. And they were told, you can't preach about Jesus. And they said, we need to obey God rather than men.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Out of Bondage. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chappell.
G.K. Chesterton said it this way, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little. One fear cures another." Now, I know that's not the Holy Bible, but what a powerful statement. Let's read it together, shall we? Ready to begin. "We fear men so much because we fear God so little. One fear cures another." Why do teenagers suddenly just start looking so different and listening to the wrong things and acting in a wrong way? Because they're fearing the crowd more than they're fearing God. Why is it sometimes people will get into a new job or a new situation, a new neighborhood, and their life just shifts so suddenly? Because they don't fear God in the way that they should. One fear cures another. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the midwives feared God. And I believe today that we must instill this principle into the lives of our children, in the lives of our young people, that God is awesome and He's to be revered and He's to be respected. And while the society is removing the Ten Commandments and then wondering why there's so much murder, removing the Ten Commandments and wondering why there's so much corruption, we need to keep this principle, keep these commandments, keep this truth concerning the fear of God central in our child rearing. The midwives feared God, and because of that, the midwives were favored by God. I won't spend a lot of time here, but notice in verse 21 it says, "And it came to pass because the midwives feared God that He made them houses." That means that He allowed them eventually to have their own families. You see, children are the heritage of the Lord, and they were so blessed of God, they got to have their own kids. And that's the biblical perspective on life, that God rewarded them in that way. And I just want to pause to say this, because so oftentimes this hateful world in which we live views Christianity and views the Bible sometimes as demeaning toward women. Let's just pause and get that in perspective. Yes, in Egypt, where the Pharaoh did not honor the Lord or know the Lord, there was murder, and there was, in fact, if you were a woman, you were viewed in value just a little higher than cattle. That's how it was in Egypt. But notice the godly women in this story, and remember this, that by the power of God, the most powerful nation on earth at that moment is going to be changed because of the faith of five women. We see the midwives, we see Joseph's mother, Jochebed, we see Pharaoh's daughter, and we see Moses' sister, all coming together in this story to preserve life, not to take life, to preserve life. And the fact of the matter is that in the Bible, women are highly elevated, as they were the first at the tomb and the first at the cross, followers of Jesus Christ, people who feared the Lord. And I thank God for godly women at Lancaster Baptist Church who love their families and who serve in the local New Testament church and who refrain from gossip and who witness for Jesus Christ. Thank God for women who fear the Lord in this society today. It was a hateful culture. It was a harmful culture. And then notice finally this morning, a helpful hand. You see, in the midst of bondage, in the midst of hate, God will always make a way of escape. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now remember, this is decades before God is going to bring the plagues and deliver His people. But long before the deliverance of the people, God is preparing His deliverer, a man named Moses. Moms and dads, may I remind you, as you train up the child in the way they should go, remember that God may be using you to prepare that next deliverer, that next great evangelist or preacher and teacher as you teach in your class and as you work with the teenagers. Remember, you do not know whose life you may be touching even this semester. The helpful hand is seen, first of all, in a parental protection. Notice in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark for him, an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the child wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Notice Jochebed, Moses' mother, she has this man child. There's a rule in the entire country to murder her child. All the forces of the world are against her, but she had faith in God. And by faith, the Bible says, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And somehow God gave the grace and the strength in order that Jochebed would be able to make this little ark, this papyrus paper, the daubing of the pitch and the oily substance placed around these bulrushes. And now she goes down into the Nile River, infested and known to be a place where alligators creep. And yet she had the faith and the trust in God to say, "God, I'm asking you to protect my child." You know, we see a lot of different kinds of parents today. We see those that are incredibly permissive, and they just seem to allow the kids to have any kind of access to the networks and any kind of access to computer networks and television networks and whatever they want to do, just permissive. And somehow they think they're going to be like a best friend with their child through that. And by the way, children growing up in a permissive home oftentimes rebel at the lack of love they know they should receive through proper discipline. Then we see on the other side of the chart, parents that are overly authoritarian and overly protective and never will let the child out of their sight and never want to let the child step out by faith. And oftentimes a child reared in that type of environment will rebel as well. So here we see Jochebed, not at all overly protective in that sense, but full of faith, placing her child in the Nile River and commending him to the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul, when he would leave certain churches, would say, "Now I commend you to the grace of God." And there comes a point in every child's life when a parent steps aside and they say, "Lord, I have done what you've commanded me to do. I commend my child into your care." Some may feel that way today as college is beginning, a difficult time, some time for parents. But imagine Jochebed as she's placing her child in the Nile River, surrounded by crocodiles. Imagine the parental heart. Imagine the trust and faith in God to give this child to the Lord in this way. And I would say sometimes to children, to teenagers, you may feel like your parents, you don't understand all of the rules. Let me tell you something. Everything your parent does is to help and protect you along the way. That was what Jochebed was doing here, trying to protect her son from the most wicked man in the world. But notice not only the parental protection, but notice as we close, a providential protection. Now this is amazing, verse 9. "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Think about the providence of God. Jochebed, just in faith, puts her child out in the Nile. But God, remember God's perspective. Remember that there is always another heavenly view. We see here Moses would be found during the exact time that Pharaoh's daughter is coming to bathe. We see that he is found by someone in the position to keep the baby alive. We see Pharaoh's daughter had a heart for this baby. We see that Moses' mother gets to care for Moses as long as she could. Moses would be taught about the true and living Yahweh God at a very early age. We see then he would be exposed to the schools and teaching of Pharaoh's court, giving him skill to become the leader that he would be one day for God. Only God could make all of that possible. Only God could take such a scary moment. Only God could take such a terrible cultural situation and bring forth from it something mighty in his hand, someone mighty in his hand, named Moses. And I tell you, friends, because if you're like me and you look at this age in which we live and you see everything on television and the way the culture is confusing children of some of these basic things, sometime as a parent you wonder, is it even possible to raise a child for God in this society? And I declare to you this morning that if God would raise up Moses out of Egypt, he can help you raise your children out of California. God can do what man could never do. That's why we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him and let him direct our path. During World War II, one of our B-29s took off to bomb the city of Kokura, Japan. When they arrived at their target, clouds had covered the entire target area. The B-29 circled around Kokura, but it could not drop the bombs because they could not see the target. And finally, they were commanded, because of fuel issues, to go to their secondary target, and they did, and they dropped the bombs on the secondary target. But about a week or so later, the officer in charge of the mission received some amazing information from military intelligence. Just 1 week before his bombing mission, the Japanese had transferred one of their largest concentrations of captured Americans to the city of Kokura. Upon reading this, the officer exclaimed, "Thank God for that protecting cloud. If the city had not been hidden from the bomber, it would have been destroyed, and thousands of American boys would have died in the bombing." Sometimes in life, you go through periods that are so cloudy. You feel like you're flying around. You don't know what's going on, what's happening with the culture. Lord, what are you doing? I want to tell you this morning, you can still trust him in those cloudy times. God is still working, even when you live in Egypt, even when the laws are contrary, even when the leaders don't know the Lord. You can still take your stand. You can still fear the Lord. You can still know there's a helping hand reaching out to you. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, and you're living in the bondage of sin. In your heart, you know that there's a separation between you and God. You know in your heart that if you were to die today, heaven's not so sure. You know that in your life there's a deep grip of bondage. I want to tell you this morning that God can deliver you from that grip. I want to tell you this morning that God can forgive any sin. God can forgive anyone. He said, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, and thou art my deliverer." God can deliver you from sin's bondage. You may be saved this morning and struggling with bitterness or hurt or sin. God wants to deliver you. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Thank God his name is Jesus Christ. God will make a way. If you'll trust his hand, if you'll look to him, he'll provide deliverance. He'll bring you out of bondage if you trust in him.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.